The Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society Podcast.
Welcome to the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society, a podcast dedicated to suspense, crime, and horror stories from the golden age of radio. I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Joshua.
We love mysterious old-time radio stories, but do they stand the test of time? That's what we're here to find out.
This week, I chose an episode of The Shadow, entitled The Island of Ancient Death.
The Shadow premiered on the Mutual Broadcasting Network September 26th, 1937, starring Orson Welles as The Shadow and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane. When Welles left the program in 1938, character actor Bill Johnstone took his place, quickly making the role his own. After Johnstone's departure in 1943, Brett Morrison donned the slouch hat for a short run of episodes before passing the power to cloud men's minds to John Archer and, very briefly, Steve Courtley. Morrison returned to the program in 1945 and remained in the role until the series ended in 1954, becoming the longest-running actor in the role.
Today's story was written by Gibson Scott Fox, who contributed a number of scripts to The Shadow, including The Bones of the Dragon, The Devil Takes a Wife, and Vampires Prowl at Night. Before working on The Shadow, Fox wrote mostly for westerns, notably The Lone Ranger and Hopalong Cassidy.
According to Martin Graham's book, The Shadow, The History and Mystery of the Radio Program, The Island of Ancient Death was adapted to prose and published in the December 1946 issue of Best Magazine. The producers hoped to attract new listeners to the program, but unfortunately, the magazine erroneously listed The Shadow's home network as CBS, not Mutual. To further confuse matters, the story featured Lamont and Margot exclusively. The Shadow did not appear at all.
And now let's listen to The Island of Ancient Death from The Shadow, starring Brett Morrison and Leslie Woods, first broadcast March 3rd, 1946.
It's late at night, and a chill has set in. You're alone, and the only light you see is coming from an antique radio. Listen to the sounds coming from the speaker, listen to the music, and listen to the voices.
Of men. The Shadow knows.
Once again, the Grove Laboratories bring you the thrilling adventures of the Shadow, a hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Listen, friends, multiple vitamins, like anything else for your health, should be taken with complete understanding of your individual needs. Your doctor may find two Grove Defender Multiple Vitamin Capsules as a supplement to your diet will meet your daily requirements. But if you're acutely fatigued, nervous, catch colds easily because of a much too low vitamin intake, he may try to relieve that condition by prescribing bigger doses. If he was in the Army, your doctor knows all about Defender Multiple Vitamins, which the Army used by the millions. He knows that two Defender capsules every day will help prevent distressing dietary vitamin deficiencies. So, get Defender Multiple Vitamins at your druggist, and be sure to supplement your food with two Defender every day. More if your doctor advises. Now, The Shadow.
Oh, who aids the forces of law and order is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young mad about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Island of Ancient Death.
Thank you. matter, Hester? Why don't you unlock the door?
Madame, have you thought of what you are doing?
Of course I have.
You are a stranger here, Madame. The island of San Angelo is small, but it's belonged to your husband's family for many generations. It has certain traditions. No one, for instance, ever enters this pavilion. And, Madame, is it not true that Dr. Madeira has forbid you to enter it? Is it not true, Madame?
Never mind my husband. Please, Hester, just open the door.
If I do, you...
Hester!
If you insist, Madame... There. Will Madame enter?
Oh, it's so dark, I can't see.
I shall have to open the shutters. Madame, listen to me. Go back while there is time. There is an evil here that no one should see, an evil...
Open the shutters, Hester. Open them.
Yes, Madame. Then look.
Diane!
Oh, come, Madeira.
You disobeyed me, my dear.
No, I
yes,
didn't.
Yes, you did. Are you determined to die, Diane?
Letter convinces you I'm losing my mind. I'll not blame you. But, oh, Margot, darling, you're one of my best friends. There's no one else I can turn to. And if you could come, better still, if you could persuade Mr. Cranston to make the trip as well, then I'd be so much more grateful than words can say. I am grateful, Margot, more grateful than words can say. I never really dreamed that you and Mr. Cranston would come, but I'm so frightened, Margot, if something doesn't happen
now, soon. Now, Diane, stop it. Lamont, you better take the reins. She's in no condition to drive.
Yes. I have them, Miss Madeira. Is that the pavilion up ahead?
Yes. This cliff we're climbing is Devil Rock. The pavilion is at the top of the cliff.
Now, we'll soon be there. Miss Madeira... Isn't it time you told us exactly what's happened?
Yes, Diane. You said that you're not allowed to leave the island, didn't you?
That's true, Margot. I'm not. I don't even know why we came here. Pablo was doing research in New York, and I thought he meant to stay. Then, well, all of a sudden, he made me leave without the least warning.
What's he doing in that laboratory you mentioned?
I don't know. He won't tell me anything. All I do know is that he's changed. Completely. And that the natives are terrified of him. I'd wanted to write Margot for a long time. And then when I saw that picture in the pavilion, I knew I had to.
Well, what sort of picture is it?
Oh, it's horrible, Margot. It's a painting of a man killing a woman. He's got some kind of a queer three-bladed knife, and he's torturing her, and she's trying to scream.
Easy now, easy.
I'm all right. That isn't what frightened me so. It's an old picture, a mural, 100 years old at least. Mr. Cranston.
Yes?
Someone painted the woman's face to look like mine.
Diane?
Yes, someone just recently. You'll see it, Margot. Mr. Cranston, is it a warning? Does it mean that I'm to die?
I'm afraid I can't answer any of your questions yet, Miss Madeira. You'll have to give me a chance to look around first. Oh, over there. Aren't you coming into the pavilion with us, Mrs. Madeira?
Oh, no, I couldn't. I never want to see that picture again. I'll wait for you here.
All right. Coming, Margot?
Oh, yes, of course, Lamar.
The doors are unlocked. You can go right in.
Thanks, Diane. We won't be long.
Just a minute, Margot. I'll open the shutters.
Oh.
She didn't exaggerate, did she?
No. Oh, Lamont, that is horrible.
Yes, it isn't pretty.
And someone has painted that face to look like Diane's.
Yes.
I don't blame her for being frightened. Look at that knife and those scratches. And the blood is...
What the devil? No artist painted this blood, Margot.
No. What are you doing?
Well, don't you see? It's see-through from behind. There must be a way this panel can open. Wait. I think I've got it. I felt something give. Stand back, Margot. It's swinging open.
What on earth?
Now, you feel that draft? It's a tunnel or a passage of some sort. Wait.
Oh!
Wait, Scott.
Something's standing there. It's holding something in its hand.
It's a body, Margot.
The mullet's grinning at it.
It's a trick played by rigor mortis.
Oh,
just a second.
Oh.
What's he holding? It's a book. You want to hold on to this, Margot? We'll look at it later.
But
I'd like to know why a murdered man should be left with a book in his hand.
Lamont.
Yes?
That man was a native, wasn't he?
Yes. What about it?
Don't you remember that Diane said something about her husband, that the natives are terrified of him? And look there. Look at the scratches on his arms and shoulders. Couldn't those have been made by a three-bladed knife?
Now listen, darling.
No, no, Lamont, no. We've got to get out of here. I don't know what's happening on this island, but we've got to get out. If we don't...
Margot!
Oh, of course. I'm sorry, darling. I'm sorry. I lost my head. I just...
Margot, we're getting Mrs. Madeira back to the house.
Right.
Then you and I are coming back and investigate this tunnel.
How far have we come, Lamont?
Nearly half a mile, I should think.
Hmm. Where do you suppose this tunnel leads?
Well, if my sense of direction's worth anything, I have an idea we're pretty close to the house. Evidently, someone at one time or another wanted a secret passage between the house and the pavilion. Wait a second.
What is it?
It's a door. Let's see if we can open it.
Well, it's stone.
Yes.
Lamont, what's that?
Sounds like a motor of some kind. It's Dr. Madeira's, probably.
What?
Don't you remember when we took Diane to the house? She said her husband's laboratory was down in the basement.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten. Well, let's stop.
Come on, let's keep going. That noise came from Madeira's laboratory. I was right. We are under the house.
What on earth do you suppose these rooms are? They look like cells.
They are cells. San Angelo used to be a slave station.
Oh.
That was in the old days, of course. These cells are probably used for barracks. Margot. Look. Look in here.
Those are bones.
Yes. Human bones.
Slaves? Slaves who died here?
Well, we'll hope they did that long ago. But if that poor chap back in the pavilion is a sample...
Come on, what on earth is that?
Wait. Margot, that's coming from Adira's laboratory. Get upstairs. I'm going to see what it is.
Now, senor, are you satisfied that you only imagined those sounds?
Not by any means, Doctor. I'd like to know, for instance, why you took so long to open the door.
How was this?
Do you mind turning off that motor?
Not at all.
Thank you. I beg your pardon, you're Hester, aren't you?
Yes, senor.
You heard the cry described, did you not?
No, Senor Cranston, I did not.
I may have been mistaken.
Well, that was not the only mistake you made, Senor Cranston.
Really?
Your first was when you came to my home without an invitation.
But I had one from your wife.
She gave it without my permission.
But even so.
And I am the head of this household. Do you understand that?
Yes. Quite.
Now, tomorrow, there's a mailboat that calls you from Port-au-Prince. And when it leaves, you and your companion will be on it.
And if we're not?
Oh, you would not be that stupid.
It's incredible how stupid I can be at times, Dr. Madeira. By the way, what are these experiments you're engaged in?
That is none of your business.
You refuse to tell me?
I do.
Well, then maybe I can.
Margot.
Come upstairs, Lamont, quickly. I have something to show you.
What is it, Mark? Oh, hello, Miss Madeira.
Hello, Mr. Cranston.
You and Margot both look as if you'd seen a ghost. What's up?
We have seen a ghost, Lamont. A ghost 100 years old.
Not here in the library, I hope.
Look at this.
Isn't this the book we found in the pavilion?
Yes, it is. I looked through it while you were in Dr. Madeira's laboratory. It's a diary, Lamont. And do you know who wrote it?
I haven't the slightest idea.
The woman who posed for that painting in the pavilion. And she had also married a Madeira, Mr. Cranston. And her husband was Dr. Tour. Here, Lamont, read this next.
It's the last one, isn't it?
Yes, the very last. Oh, read it to yourself, Lamont, please. It's an entry Diane hasn't seen.
No, that isn't fair, Margot. If you don't show it to me, I'll imagine something much worse.
She's but right, Diane, Shall I read it aloud, Miss Madeira?
Please.
Very well. March 3rd, 1835. How strange it is to know that this is the last time I shall.
And make an entry in his diary. How much more strange to realize if I had never posed for that horrible picture in the pavilion, I might not have had to die. And strangest of all, to realize at last that my husband's experiments were meant to have their climax in my death. Even now, as I write, I hear my husband's footsteps in the hall. Now, he stops. He's at the door. Now, I hear nothing. He must be raising his hand to knock. Oh, yes. And now.
The door. Good Lord.
Another one.
Margot, turn away. Don't look.
What is it? Please come out.
Margot, don't look. Horror.
We'll return to the shadow in just a moment. When you've got a real cold, all its aches and miseries, don't fool around. You want comforting relief quickly. For years, cold sufferers have turned to Grove for cold relief because Grove cold tablets work on all these miseries at once. Grove cold tablets can do all this because they're of multiple medicine, compounded like a doctor's prescription. Not just a headache tablet, not just one or two ingredients, but a combination of 8 active medical ingredients that work internally on all these usual cold miseries at once. Now, when you have a cold, rest and avoid exposure. Make sure you get the genuine Grove cold tablets. Take exactly as directed, except only the box with the name Grove. G-R-O-V-E. Grove cold tablets. Now, back to the shadow.
Guests at an old Spanish mansion, Caribbean, have been trying to learn what's behind the strange happenings that have been terrifying the household. It's late at night now, as they continue their investigation, down deep in the subterranean passages.
A little further, almost at Madeira's laboratory now.
So still tonight, Lamont. Have you noticed?
Yes. It's going to be a storm.
Oh, I hope not.
Not much doubt of it. Weather's been getting ready for one the last couple of days. These semi-tropical storms are practically hurricanes.
Darling, are you trying to frighten me?
No, not a bit of it. Ah, here we are. Well, I wonder if Madeira keeps his laboratory locked. He does. Well, I have something can fix that in a hurry. This passkey ought to do it. Did.
Darling, I'm not going any further until you tell me why you wanted to come here.
Certainly. Take a look at this.
A knife. And with 3 fixed blades.
Exactly.
Where did you get that?
In here. After we heard that cry.
And Dr. Madeira let you take it away?
He didn't know I found it. I didn't say anything to him because I didn't want to frighten him off.
Well, now you've got to tell me something else.
What?
In the library, when I showed you that diary and we heard those knocks at the door, what was that?
It was another native, Margot.
You mean like the one in the pavilion?
A great deal worse, Margot. This poor chap had been cut to ribbons.
Oh, no.
He'd been attracted by our voices in the library, but it's a wonder he had the strength to reach the door.
Oh, I wish we hadn't come here.
It's too late for that, Margot. Hello, what's this?
Well, now, don't tell me you're interested in the trash he swept up.
Trash, Margot? Better look again.
Well, it's all stringy, whatever it is. There's blood on it.
There is. And this stringy stuff, as you call it, is human flesh.
What?
Yes, Margot. Human flesh as it might look if it were cut from someone's body with a knife exactly like this.
Oh, Lamont,
now, listen to me, Margot. Have you told Diane about the body in the pavilion?
No, of course not. You said I shouldn't.
Then don't mention this.
All right.
I want you to find Diane and stay with her, Margot. Stay with her.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to try to find Dr. Madeira. Hester!
Why do you stand here alone, looking out at Devil's Rock? Are you afraid, Dr. Madeira? Don't you realize that things have gone too far? That you must kill her? That it's your only way out? That you can't...
Stop it, Hester.
You love her, don't you?
Yes. I love her.
Then how can you hesitate? Isn't the man in that painting in the pavilion killing the woman he loves? And doesn't he get a wild pleasure from it?
The storm is here at last.
Yes, Dr. Madeira, the storm has finally come. Kill her now and throw her body into the sea. Let the storm hide her, Dr. Madeira. Let it hide her before these fools who think they have come to help can discover what our real purpose is.
Pablo wasn't in the laboratory, Margot. He must have come down here.
Well, Diane, for heaven's sake, let's go back upstairs then. What do you care if your husband's down here in the tunnel or not?
I've got to know what he's doing, Margot. If I just waited in my room, I'd go crazy.
Well, if I have to see these cells many more times, I'll go crazy, too.
Oh, here's another passage. He may have gone this way.
All right. But you stay close to me, Diane.
Well, if only we had more light, it wouldn't be so bad.
Mm. I can see faces staring out at us from every shadow. I don't know, but what I'd just as soon be out in the storm.
Oh.
What was that?
I don't know. I think it came from behind this door.
Oh, that door probably just leads to another passageway. I wouldn't... Diane, don't go in there.
I did hear something in here, Margot.
The lights. The lights went out. And somebody closed the door.
Something is in here. And I can't get out.
Diane, where are you? I can't see. And the door's locked. Diane, do you hear me?
Help, Margot. Somebody help! Diane! Help! Somebody help!
Margot! Margot,
is that you?
Oh, come on, thank
heaven. Are you all right, darling?
Yes, but Diane's gone. Something grabbed her, locked that door, and pulled her into the passageway.
I think I know where Diane is, Margot.
You do? Well, what have you found out, Lamont? And did you see Madeira?
You didn't give me a chance, darling. I was searching the house, and I heard you call and Diane screaming.
Then, how do you know?
We haven't time for questions now, darling. Just do what I say. Go to your room and lock yourself in. Lock yourself in, do you understand? I think I know what's been happening here, and if I'm right, it's worse than I imagined.
But Diane, I've got to find Diane.
Leave that to me.
Do you know where she is?
I think Madeira's gone to the pavilion, Margot. And if I'm not mistaken, so has she.
Diane.
Yes, Pablo?
You knew about the panel and the tunnel.
Yes. Yes, I knew.
What are you doing with that gun?
I'm going to kill you, Pablo.
No, Diane.
I'm going to kill you, as you meant to kill me.
But I didn't. Listen, Diane, go back to the house. Do you hear that wind? It's a hurricane. The pavilion isn't safe here.
Are you trying to trick me again, Pablo? Are you trying to trick me now? As you've been trying to trick me into madness?
Diane, I swear I'm not. Can't you hear? Go back, Diane.
What are you trying to hide, Pablo? What's that on the floor behind you? Isn't that a body? Isn't that Hester's body?
Diane.
It is Hester. And she's dead. You've murdered her. Look at the mark of that knife, Pablo. You've murdered her.
You are mad.
No, but I...
You killed her.
Who will believe that?
The shadow will believe it, Diane.
Shadow?
Who are you? Where are you?
No one sees the shadow, Mrs. Madeira.
I'll kill you if I find you. I'll kill you.
Drop that gun, Mrs. Madeira. Drop
it. Something has a hold of me. Something I can't see.
There.
Pablo, help me.
You called your husband for help, Mrs. Madeira? Have you forgotten that you meant to kill him also?
Only because I had to. He meant to kill me. He was driving me mad.
No, Diane, you were already mad.
No, that's not true.
But it is. That's why your husband brought you here. That's why I refused to let you leave the island. Isn't that true, Dr. Madeira?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it is.
Isn't that why you carried on those experiments in your laboratory? Because you hoped to find a way to cure her?
Yes.
He couldn't tell you that you were losing your mind, Diane.
No.
That's why you failed to understand. Perhaps if you had understood, you wouldn't have murdered those two natives.
Oh, I didn't. Why should I?
Because you'd already planned to kill your husband in order to regain your freedom. You'd justify yourself by making him appear a murderer.
Diane, go back. The pavilion's going.
No, I belong with the storm.
The wall fell in.
She's blocked off, Dr. Madeira. She can't be reached. Come back, you fool. You're not going to.
No. Let go of me. Let me go with Diane.
Back, Madeira. Back. The pavilion. It's going.
Diane!
Well, there's our ship, Margot. Be aboard in a few minutes. In a week or so, home again.
Yes, we will, but, Lamont, there's still so much that happened that I don't understand.
Oh? For instance?
Well, was Diane really insane?
Yes, Margot. Dr. Madeira had brought her to the island on that account. He was doing the best he could for her, but he made one serious mistake.
What was that?
He confided in Hester. But Hester was secretly in love with him, more than willing to force Diane into complete insanity. That's why she painted Diane's features on that mural. It's also why she faked that diary.
The diary was fake?
Yes. It's too much of a coincidence to be believed in, Margot.
You know, I thought Dr. Madeira was guilty all the time. Of the murders, I mean. When we found those pieces of flesh in his laboratory, I was sure of it.
That's why I was sure he wasn't. He was far too clever to leave evidence like that just lying around. But I had an even better reason for believing Diane guilty instead of her husband. Do you recall the second native who was murdered? And do you remember Diane saying, another one?
Well, yes, but...
Well, neither you nor I had told her about the first native. So unless she'd killed him herself, how could she have known of it?
Well, that's right. Well, what about those cries we heard in the laboratory?
Diane was in there. We heard her murdering the native. Madeira and Hester covered up for her when we came into the laboratory so we wouldn't learn the truth.
Yes, but darling, Diane got locked in that passageway and then she disappeared.
It's very easy.
Well, how could it be?
Well, it was. When the storm put the lights out, she slammed the door, faked that business of being seized, then took advantage of the darkness to skip out again and lock the door behind her. She'd made up her mind to kill Hester, so she had to go through all that in order to get rid of you.
Oh, the poor girl. Look, darling. The sky's cleared again. The sun's out. The storm must be over.
Yes, Margot, the storm's over. For the island, and for the people on it.
They say misery loves company. But wouldn't misery prefer relief? Now, the usual miseries of a common cold can be relieved fast with Grove cold tablets. It's a multiple medicine compounded like a doctor's prescription. Here's no mere headache tablet, but a combination of 8 active medical ingredients that'll take right hold and work internally on all these usual cold miseries at once. Help reduce fever, relieve headache, alleviate body aches and pains, reduce nasal stuffiness. No wonder millions of cold sufferers have turned to Grove for cold relief for 51 years. Of course, rest and avoid exposure. Insist on the genuine Grove cold tablets. Take exactly as directed. Look for the famous Grove signature on the box. That's G-R-O-V-E. Grove cold tablets.
This story is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Again next week, The Shadow will demonstrate that
the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, Grove Laboratories will bring you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. Be sure to listen. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That was The Island of Ancient Death from The Shadow. Here on the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society podcast, once again, I'm Eric.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Joshua.
I picked that episode mainly because, first of all, it's been a while since we've done a Shadow. Second, Shadow is fastly become my choice of go-to-sleep episodes. I go through phases, and the last 5 months have been, I'm going with The Shadow. Consequently, that means that everything I listen to, I get about a fourth of the way through.
Yep.
And then fall asleep. The reason that I pick The Shadow so often is because I have been struck by how many Shadow episodes there are out there actually that I have not heard. And what a wide range The Shadow is mm-hmm. of styles. And that show went through a lot of transitions, and not year by year or actor by actor. Week by week, they would, like, you can't really pigeonhole what this show is about. So this particular one, I kept falling asleep to. And, of course, waking up maybe before it was over or halfway through or having it permeate my dreams. And all I could think was, this is bonkers. What is going on? This is the weirdest episode ever. So I finally, when it was my turn to pick, I said, I'm going to finish that one. I will say this, that when I finally got through this thing awake, it wasn't as madcap bonkers as I thought it was. And I decided to bring it to the podcast anyway because I thought there was a lot of things to talk about, not the least of which is what I just got done saying. I've been wanting to say that for a while about The Shadow. It's a fascinating show. Mm-hmm. I think it has a lot to do with a lot of writers.
Yep, and writers would come and writers would go.
Yep.
They'd crank out a bunch of scripts in the style they liked and then move on to other radio shows.
So it's interesting you say in this opening, by the way, that the prose of this was written and they didn't have The Shadow appear. Almost happened here. Almost happened here.
Where it's like, oh, wait, we've got to make The Shadow appear for some other reason.
Some dumb reason. Not needed.
I'm thrilled to hear you say all this preamble because this was the episode of The Shadow that the first one I've encountered that I thought, I might not like this. No, wait. No, I do like it. No. No, I don't think I do. No, yes, I do. I listened to it several times, and a few times it didn't get to the end, and I just could not come to an opinion about it.
Interesting. I think it would behoove us to kind of recap this plot a little bit. First of all, this thing starts in the castle. I think that's what I really love about this, is that we are in it. And I know it's almost a literal castle, but we are in it at the top. Like, we don't even know who these people are. And the connection to Margot is 5 minutes in, like, oh, she's going to call her friend Margot Lane, right?
Which has some sort of question mark. And please bring your husband,
yeah,
Lamont, or your boyfriend, or whatever it is.
And the only thing I can think about that is that he has somehow established himself as being a crime solver.
That happens as the series goes on.
Yeah.
Because it's just an easier end to the stories than somebody who has to go to his, I think it's the Cobalt Club, and find some other rich person who has a problem every episode, which is kind of what happened frequently with Orson Welles when they stuck to that structure. But
as opposed to, please bring your boyfriend, well-known lazy drunk Lamont Cross.
Right. Yeah, I think the premise of it is he's established himself as, in cahoots at least, with the police, that helps the police in a private detective-y kind of way.
Or we can just think that Margot, if they're friends, has shared anecdotes with her about their
very totally the shadow. He's totally the shadow.
Here's an anecdote.
It's like, have I ever told you about the gibbering things?
And we are led to believe what is going on. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is pretty much, here's the crazy mad scientist. Now all that's left to happen is, how is the shadow going to stop him? Here's why I like it. Because that ain't what's going on.
No. Yeah.
And I loved that about it, because I thought I was listening to a very cut and dried
cliche
mad scientist. Let's stop him. And I did not see it coming. The twist of her. It was a slow burn as she was talking, and I went, oh, wait a minute. But it wasn't dropped at me like an anchor, but I did not know.
Well, I like in her letter at the top, she says, or maybe I'm just insane. Or she says something, or you might think I'm insane. She gives the game away, which I thought was just a fun, clever writer
patting
himself on the back. It just went right past me the first time I listened, but the second time I went, hey, she is crazy.
right.
She's just telling you right up front.
There's just a point in the middle of it when they're wandering around the caves below, and they connect up with the basement of the guy's lab, and there's just something anti-magical there that makes the whole story just kind of like, it just stops. Like, what are we doing?
Yep.
Again, it's not like, and so this is a terrible story. It's weird. I don't know what's wrong with it, because I can't point to
bad writing
or anything.
As two people that fall asleep to this a lot, there's a lot of screaming.
Yes.
You guys are clearly deep sleepers.
That's what pulled me out. There's so much screaming.
This is the type of old-time radio show that my wife is banned from from the boudoir.
With all the high-pitched squeal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I always go, hey, should we listen to some old-time radio? And it's like, no, guns are screaming. Or the other one is, nothing that will give us nightmares. And I'm like, oh, that's all the old-time radio I like.
So Our American Family, what?
One Man's Family.
One Man's Family. Carlton Morris, that's it? That's all you can listen to? Okay. The radio version of Father Knows Best?
It's an incredibly violent episode of
The
Shadow. Yes,
yeah.
Opening with that mural of someone murdering a woman with a triple-bladed knife. It sounds, it's kind of funny, it sounds like a pulp cover of the era.
Right.
Almost felt like an intentional nod. But then you get the creepy notion someone's painted over this old mural with her face on it. But that begs the question of, like, what was the old mural doing here?
And that behind it there was the body of somebody who had been killed and their face disfigured into this sort of hideous smile. It's all good stuff. I don't know what my problem was.
Well, and then the other thing about this that I think struck me is Margot and Lamont are terrified. That doesn't, like, there's a confidence to the two of them normally that's like, okay, let's just figure this out.
Margot has a true freak out.
She has a true freak out.
Which is very un-Margot-y.
Yep.
There's a great bit in here, and it's a recurring thing in The Shadow where the Shadow says, Margot, don't look.
Yeah. Right?
Because it's the second native they find mutilated is even worse than the first. He says, don't look. But then, it's really funny, later, she sees something in the laboratory, looks like, you know, some tattered cloth. And then he's like, no, Margot, look closer.
Oh, yes.
It's actually ribbons of human flesh. Look closer. Look at it. Like, that's what I would say. Don't look.
Put it in your hair.
Right.
Smell it. Taste it.
But
use all your senses, Margot. Let's explore this human flesh.
But even that scene in that moment was another reason I brought it. Like, wow, this is ghastly. There's a lot of ghastly, grotesque, slasher movie things going on in this.
So sleepy. So soothing.
So soothing, sleepy, slashery.
Yeah, I would argue that this may be the darkest Shadow that I have heard, because all the violence is very naturalistic and it's not set off by any lightheartedness.
No.
Well, obviously, in Village of Doom, it has that just horrific infanticide in it, a murder of a baby, but it also has wacky picnics and
running through the
jackdaws with poison beaks and all these other absurd to comical elements. Whereas this is, the violence is very visceral.
We don't get the establishment of Margot and Lamont first having a nice dinner before everything falls apart, having a picnic, having something nice happening.
And this was a slaver post, right? And so they're walking through these cells and where they kept slaves and shackles. So on top of this very visceral horror, it has real life historical horror hanging over the whole piece.
Yep. Man's inhumanity to man.
Yeah.
Again, I know we said it already. I really appreciated the twist. Yo, is that a no?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Okay. Okay.
I did not see that coming at all, because there are a lot of really cliched episodes of The Shadow that have the mad scientist plot.
Yeah,
and they don't have all the startling violence around it that this one does. But I thought this was going to stand out for being exceptionally visceral and lurid, but follow this usual Shadow plot.
We're not typically trained to expect a twist at the end of The Shadow.
No.
And they carefully worked out each step and who did it and Hester in the background. It all holds up. If you can get past all the disturbing elements of it.
Which I loved.
All the victims are natives to this island who don't even get to speak, which is a blessing, because it would probably be horribly insulting if they did.
I wouldn't have been able to bring it to the
podcast. And there's also this element where he brought her here because she was dangerous. So he brought her to this remote place where she can only
brown
people.
Right.
But it also, at the same time, is aware of the horror of slavery. So it has this sort of weird, uncomfortable dissonance there.
I want to say, well, first thing I want to ask is, it was a while ago that we listened to this and we're discussing it. Usually we discuss our podcast sooner after we've listened to them.
We listened to this 3 years ago.
3 years ago. I can't for the life of me right now remember why did he become the Shadow in this and what for. All I remember is, oh, that was unnecessary. What was it again?
That's my memory, too, that he wanted to talk to the doctor, but I think, like, intimidate him as the Shadow?
I think that's it. It's an intimidating.
That's right. And there's no...
Like, I want to talk to you. Oh, he's got a hat.
Overall, though, as I stated at the top, it sounded bonkers to me. I wanted to finish it. I know we all love the Shadow. It was kind of bonkers. All the things we discussed are why I brought it. But I think more so what I wanted to bring this for is the discussion of the Shadow in general, which I've already alluded to. And that is, this episode opened up for me this something that probably should have occurred to me a long time ago. And that is, there is no such thing as a typical episode of the Shadow. It's an adventure to throw on an episode of the Shadow you haven't heard, to hear what genre they're going to write it in and who wrote it and what kind of style it's in, because this literally felt to me like an episode of The Witch's Tale.
Yes, I would totally back you up on that. It has that level of blood and guts horror.
And going 1,000 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So that's all. I'm going to bring more shadows.
What if we run out?
Yeah. If you bring a shadow, it's like bringing a new show, because it's different every time.
Well, not
all the time, but there's enough of them out there. We could do, I've heard in the last 2 weeks, 30 episodes of The Shadow that I'm like, wow, that's weird too.
And those are the ones I like. I like the weird,
but there's a lot of weird.
There's some just like Green Hornet like episodes that are just like,
quick to the Shadowmobile.
Yeah, and they're really dull, I find.
The Green Hornet is great to sleep to because it is so predictable.
Yeah, I can usually fall asleep with the music.
Oh, it's hard to fall asleep. But, you know, Green Hornet, all he's fighting is a guy that's ahead of a mob trying to take down on the newspaper. That's what that show is.
A corrupt politician or a corrupt
But criminal. In a lot of ways, it's like escape or suspense or witch's tale, as I said, with the name of the show being loosely based sometimes on the protagonist that, as we find out, isn't always needed at all.
I do like how the bad guy is rarely arrested in the Shadow. They always come to some gruesome death as soon as their plot is revealed. A pavilion is dropped on Diane in this room. But even that, the script carefully sets up. There's this coming storm to sort of make this sort of climactic horror trope happen on this rocky crag and drop a pavilion on someone.
Right, right. Well, should we throw this to a vote?
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed this a lot. I had a great time. I'm not going to call it a classic because I don't think this stands the test of time in the sense of, I think it has some goofy tropes to it in some ways. And I won't call it a classic because it is dated in its horror in ways. And how do you find a classic Shadow when they're all, not all, but there's so many wide-ranging styles of the Shadow? I just want to vote this. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Here we go, big Shadow fan.
I wouldn't call it fun. Like, it's one of those rare Shadows where there's not a fun moment in it, in that there's no lighthearted banter, there's no comic relief.
I meant fun in the sense of from a horror suspense standpoint.
Yes.
Roller coaster fun. Roller coasters aren't fun either. It's just you peeing your pants.
Yes.
That's fun.
But yeah, it certainly moves at this really compelling breakneck pace. The twist at the end really, really works.
Yep.
And I don't think it was intended at the time, or it's hard to grapple with what the intentions were at the time. I am fascinated by the setting on this slave trader post, and just the weird idea that it's sort of treated like, oh yeah, that old mural was probably, you know, whatever Simon Legree type character owned it, just painted this sort of tribute to torture and murder on this pavilion. And it makes for a complex and possibly more difficult for some people listen. But I think it's kind of fascinating for historical reasons as well. Definitely not a classic, mainly because I miss Shrevey hijinks or something. Imagine Shrevey running around. Oh, I found some human flesh I found.
I think
did this conversation help you decide if you like it or not?
Yes. I think it stands the test of time. There's a lot to like here. There's still, to me, something does get my finger on, it, kind of in the middle of the pace of where it feels like they stay on the fake out, just the extra note too long, which I totally feel like the Emperor in Amadeus. I'm like, there's too many notes. Just takes them out. But that in some ways that is, there's so much to enjoy that any little skip suddenly feels so out of place. So I don't even really know. I still don't know what my complaint about it was. It just, there's something in there where I disengaged, and every time I listened to it, I would disengage in that same spot.
Another horrific murder. That's a reason to sort of disengage. It's fair.
Without the horrifying grotesqueness, there's something about it also that strikes me as a Flash Gordon serial. Thing to thing to thing.
It really is.
There's like eight cliffhangers in that half hour, you know? It feels like that kind of goofiness a little
bit. Yeah, that's kind of, I think, what I was in there. It's like, oh, just get to it.
Right.
And I think there needed to be one more variation on the type of horror, too, because it was just one more cut of body, one more cut of body. And so that might be where it kind of felt slow, maybe?
Yeah, you know, not even slow, as just like it hit a cul-de-sac in some way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All of which is to overemphasize a small complaint, because it is all the things you praise about it are all true. It is powerfully grisly. Move this at a lightning pace, and it's to your initial and main point. It's really different than a lot of other Shadow episodes.
Yep. All right, Tim, tell them more stuff.
hey, please visit ghoulishdelights.com. Why? Why, you ask? I tell you this all the time, because you can listen to other episodes there. You can leave comments on episodes there. You can vote in polls to let us know what you think about these episodes. You can send us a message. Let us know just what's going on with you. Hey, how's it going? You can also link to our social media pages, to our Threadless store, buy some swag, or become a Patreon supporter.
Yes, go to patreon.com/themorals and patronize us, please. Send us some money. In exchange, you will receive bonus episodes of the podcast. You will receive an invitation to our monthly Zoom happy hours. You can join me for my semi-monthly Zoom book clubs. There's so much extra morals you could be getting with just a little extra money. And speaking of extra money, we are also looking for some one-time donations towards some upgrades on our computer, because we are recording this on a very, very, very old laptop. And as Eric mentioned, that we listened to this episode a while ago because we've had several failed recordings. So please help us step into the 2020s.
If you own a computer store, we'll be done with this part of our begging. Send us a computer. Hey, if you want to see us performing live, the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society Theater Company does live on stage recreations, adaptations, and a lot of our own original work of audio theater. We've been doing it nonstop for about 6 years. You can find out where we're performing every month by simply going to ghoulishdelights.com or mysteriousoldradiolisteningsociety.com. There you'll find out what we're performing this month and where, and get tickets right there as well. If you are a Patreon, you can please, if you're in the area, come and see us, which has been happening a lot recently. Mm-hmm. We've been meeting some people that have been coming to see our shows, which, lovely. Please do that. But if you can't make it, you do get to watch them anyway, because it's part of your Patreon deal, because we film them for only our Patreons. Hey, what's coming up next?
Next, we will be joined by one of our patrons, another perk.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/themorals. He will be bringing an episode of Nightfall entitled The Dark Side of the Mind. Until then...
Look out!
The Green Hornet.